And now we go on to Rob Peretti, who's going to talk about creating a preservation master and automating online access. Rob Peretti is a graduate of the Grant McEwen College Jazz Program and holds a diploma in both recording engineering and music production from Fanshawe College. He's been a musician, composer, disc mastering engineer, and CD mastering engineer, as well as a music producer engineer and audio post-production recording engineer. Over the past two decades, he has supplied professional audio, video, and computer equipment for such markets as music recording, audio post-production, compact disc mastering, restoration, television, broadcast, digital cinema, and archiving. He has an extensive IT background in networking and software development, including Visual Basic, SQL Server, and numerous web technologies. He has presented papers at AES, NAB, SMPTE, JTS, and previous ARS conventions. This paper examines a software solution that automates the processes of moving newly ingested audio materials to a Preservation Master repository while creating browsing copies for intranet and internet websites. This XML data derived from this digital database will drive multiple processes that automate related preservation workflows, which includes parallel ingest streams, audio analysis, audio and metadata security, derivative creation, reporting, and notification systems. May I introduce Rob Peretti?
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for the warm welcome. And I have to switch my monitor on here. Yes? Thank you. Okay. So from ingest to website is the title. And I just learned fairly recently Michael's report to us this morning. So it's amazing how well we're going to dovetail together this morning. I'm going to propose a slightly different approach to efficiently ingesting our audio archives. It's interesting that a number of discussions during the conference has centered around the size of the archive, the degradation of the media, the loss of the expertise to deal with that media, and recently the loss of the actual machines that we need to transcribe that media. So in a sense, there's a race against time. We're fighting a race against getting that material into the digital stream efficiently, safely, and with the knowledge that we currently have, which is disappearing along with the machines that we need to describe or transcribe that material. I'm going to make a lot of assumptions in my presentations. Michael took us through a lot of granularity on some of these issues, size, the actual content of the archive, its physical state or deterioration, historical context, some of the issues relating to human resources required to actually do your ingest, the equipment resources required, in particular dealing with parallel transfers, which I'll be discussing, and of course the expertise at different levels depending on what activity you're doing. So there are a lot of variables, and while I go through this, I'm going to ask you to consider your own archives and how it's going to apply to what I'm talking about, because they're all different. It's easy to identify some of the bottlenecks, and typically there are activities with a human labor component. Many of them center around staffing resources, involving inspecting and cataloging media, storing descriptive metadata, just simply organizing your collections, pre-digitized preparation, especially for older legacy media, preparation for that, and then the actual digitization. Metadata, whether it's archive number entry or creating descriptive and technical metadata, and then post-digitization activities, which often center around creating quality, derivative creation. So how can we alleviate some of these bottlenecks and become more efficient? And one way, of course, is with computer automation. Obviously, multiple streams or simultaneous or parallel streams is a big deal. There are some other strategies using high-speed, multi-channel, or dual-direct ingest can have a dramatic impact on your efficiency and your throughput. But of course, that often targets specific media. Automated quality analysis of your intermediates, your masters, and even your derivatives can be a big issue. This is especially useful in parallel ingest streams where you're attempting to do, for example, more than three or four simultaneous, where you can set up separate monitors and have one engineer working. Flowing metadata through the entire workflow. And we provide some possibilities to actually drive that workflow metadata dynamically depending on that metadata. Then there's the creation of security for both the audio and the metadata that's collected. Quality analysis of both the derivatives and the master, and reporting and notification systems. As you increase the parallel streams, of course, you're now dealing with a lot more media at the same time. And we feel that reporting is an important aspect of it because there's a lot of material to go through, and having succinct information about the contents of what you're digitizing is important. So I'm going to present an overview of the tools that target these particular potential efficiencies. We can break them down into sort of three general areas: ingest, metadata, and post-processing. So the first section, ingest, another click here, we're going to start with Quadriga. Quadriga has a powerful purpose-built GUI specifically for doing audio ingest. It has import modules for all the various legacy formats. We can handle multiple stream ingest with sophisticated monitoring functions to deal with those streams. We can do up to 8 channels simultaneous. Each channel can be up to 8 channels, or sorry, each stream can be up to 8 channels wide. We can do forward and reverse direction, complete with monitoring. Ideally, we want to drive our workflows for metadata derived from a data source. So if you have a data source, we can use that to help push material quickly and increase the efficiency of the system. And, of course, that requires importing and exporting to something that you currently have, or else that has to be collected in advance. And finally, we have our Dobbin product, which is a scalable distributed batch processor. It's both an audio and metadata rendering engine. And one of the great things about Dobbin is that it uses a graphical interface to create your workflows that's similar to a workflow diagram software like Visio. So we'll talk a little bit about Quadriga first. Sorry, I got another slide here that just describes how the three products work together. So we have Quadriga, Dobbin, an audio platform that they operate on called an Audio Cube, Cube Workflow. That just shows an integration. There's a bidirectional messaging interface between the platforms. And then we extract metadata from your legacy database. And then also connect on the back end to your asset management system, so to move material, audio, and metadata through your network. So I'm going to digress a little bit and talk about some traditional approaches. I won't go into this in detail, especially since Michael has talked a lot about that, on how to deal with multiple ingest streams. Traditionally, you're simply replicating your resources by the number of ingest streams you want. That's one approach of doing that. And that gets to be quite expensive because not only you need, taking as an example, 6 ingest streams, you need 6 studios, 6 people, et cetera. The other approach is, of course, that you use an engineer to do multiple ingest streams, and then you have issues with monitoring. That can get complicated. So one thing that you can do is define through a selection process, potentially where these type of approaches are going to work within your archive. One thing that might need to be done is a quality analysis and whether it's critical to your archive or not. If it's critical, active listening by a human becomes more important. And of course, the storing of descriptive metadata and quality analysis. Of course, that skill comes with a cost, and especially if you're replicating it, that you're basically putting a multiplication factor in there. If you have materials that's a little less critical, you can use non-skilled workers, you can use more automation. So we sort of handle either approach depending on what you're doing. And we'll investigate some of those approaches. So with Quadriga, we have a single workstation that can provide up to 8 independent streams of ingest simultaneous. We have a complete monitoring function built in. If you look in the bottom left-hand corner of the image there, you'll see 8 buttons and transport status display. When you click on those buttons, the entire top area and the transport actually switch to show you its status. There are 2 sets of transports there because one of them is the actual transport of your machine. So we have various protocols to connect the devices, whether it's 232 or 422, and so you're controlling the device right from the software. This lets you put your machines, which potentially can be noisy, especially if you start adding 4 or 8 of them in the same room as your monitoring room, into a machine room or off into a rack in the back of your room. So often the costs of doing this are offset by redundant real estate required for cookie stamping your ingest system and the associated equipment costs. And of course, labor costs are dramatically decreased. So this is how a Quadriga system looks when you're piecing it together. We have basically a Dell workstation. To do the machine control component, we have a box that interfaces to the Quadriga system through USB. And depending on the type of machine that you're connecting, you have various protocols to connect to devices. We do also have a connection to an EMT turntable, so you can automate ingest through that particular model of a turntable for disks. Some of the other strategies I mentioned earlier are, rather than adding more streams, to make things a little faster. So multi-speed recording, multi-channel recording, dual direction, and we can combine those formats. For example, ingesting a compact cassette at double speed in 4 channels, so forward and the forward channels and the reverse channels, in one pass can take a 90-minute cassette in 22 minutes. So that's a single person on one stream, and then you multiply that by the number of streams. The monitoring functions to do that not only handle playback equalization, because when you're doing it at high speed, you need to disable the machine's playback equalization curves. So it handles the playback equalization. It handles real-time sample rate conversion, so you're not hearing Chip and Dale back at double speed. And it handles the reverse playback by clever buffering on your hard drive. So you're actually hearing potentially the reverse double speed stream in at normal speed at the right pitch and with the correct equalization. And then Quadriga automatically generates all the metadata associated with those processes so that you can create a proper master preservation at the correct speed with the correct equalization as a post-process. So just looking at a couple of other things that Quadriga give you that help deal with the issues of parallel ingest with a single operator. We do complete quality analysis of the stream using a couple of tools. One of them is called Audiophile Inspector, and the other one is Digital Error Checker. One deals with analog domain problems, and the other one deals with digital domain problems. The events that are created are timestamped, and they're displayed in a report list. Those events can be used to do post-restoration activities, locate to the actual problems, or simply as a mechanism to determine the state of your actual recording. There's also a collection of statistical analysis, various averages, means, etc. They're displayed in a real-time interface, and that image there shows you exactly what you've got. You can set up critical thresholds that can be set up for each individual event. So, for example, in the one example that Michael had where over time, buildup on a cassette head is going to start losing your frequency response, the chief engineer can set up a threshold where if the bandwidth is at a certain point, the bandwidth indicator turns yellow. When it goes to another level, it turns red and automatically generates an event in the actual report list. So those are some of the types of things that you can do to set up your profiles for a particular ingest type. And of course, I just mentioned storing a profile that does certain things like critical thresholds. You can store numerous profiles on the computer and recall them on different projects depending on the nature of the transfer or the state of the media. The report list looks like that. We automatically detect a number of different events, start and end of modulation, signal pauses, analog distortion, clicks, dropouts, hum, the fact if it's stereo mono, speech, music, strictly by bandwidth calculation, sound to noise ratio, bandwidth, DC offset, dynamic levels, peaks, average levels, stereo balance, correlation, azimuth, etc. On to the next step. Getting metadata through to Quadriga or Dobbin is important in keeping the efficiency, especially when you're dealing with parallel ingesting. We have a tool called Cube Workflow. It handles connecting through JDBC interfaces to whatever database you might have, collect, ingest a bunch of information that create actual work order documents in the form of XML that can be used to import into Quadriga to actually begin an ingest. So rather than going to Quadriga and hitting the record button and then manually entering or scanning a barcode and then collecting that metadata, you simply open a file of metadata that you then record your audio in. So all that information is coming presumably pre-typed into your database. It's more efficient and less problem with errors, assuming that the original material was created accurately. And, of course, we can exchange, just rifle through a couple of things here, we can exchange that information with back into your database. So as we collect more material, more technical metadata during the ingest process, then we can export that back out into your other systems. It prevents duplicating entry, which if you've got the information collected already, then we might as well use it. The workflows themselves and the workflow chains can be dynamic depending on the metadata. So it actually adapts to, you know, information that you've collected or will collect during ingest to define post processes, like what happens with the oven, which is the batch processor. And this is done through an exchange process service with CubeTech products, and that happens automatically with Cube Workflow, Dobbin, and Quadriga. It also does supervision of job schedules. So some of that messaging system will allow an operator to give progress reports back to a supervisor who might be managing multiple rooms. So if there's a problem through a selection process, you have media that can be managed by these parallel ingest processes, but if there's a problem with the tape, it's got to jump out of that workflow into another one that requires expert handling. So the messaging system manages that. It can through a web interface. So any computer in the various rooms that have a connection to that web interface, people know what's going on throughout your facility. You can also email and use SNMP notifications. And there's plenty of reporting, including time-based statistical information of how your ingests are going and how metadata is being collected. The heart of the post-processing system is done through Dobbin. It's an automated batch processor. The picture that you're seeing here is the job manager, and the job manager is a GUI using drag and drop approach to connecting various processing modules. The elements are on the left-hand side in a list, and as you drag them over to the right-hand side, they show up as these little blocks that you connect with little wires. And when you right-click on the blocks, you get property dialog boxes that set up, for example, the bit rate of your MPEG encoder, where your metadata is being derived, when you're inserting it into your ID3 tags, those type of things. We'll look at some examples. During the creation of the jobs, we do complete synaptic testing of all your wire connections to make sure the logic of your workflow is correct. And you're also able to run a job with one file to test it before you run it on thousands of files. And the jobs themselves can be triggered via a file creation, moving files into a directory, metadata criteria, statistical analysis. External applications can drive workflows, and you can just simply start one manually. Some of the things that we can do as a batch process include content analysis, audio quality, analog digital errors, complete remastering and reformatting tools, automatic restoration, file security, including I call it the MD5 for BWF, which is the file security code, MD5 and DDP integrity tools, and file correlation, audio file encoding, all kinds of different encoders, MP2, MP3, AAC, MPEG, DTS, AC3, WMA, WMLP, and more. Various tools, logic tools, to create automatic decision making based on criteria. So this requires, I'm not actually there, there we are. This lets you do complex conditional branching based on what's going on in your workflow and what you need to do. The job manager actually manages your jobs. There's what it looks like. There's a list of jobs that are actually running. It gives you real-time status of each job. There's a messaging service, as I mentioned, to Cube Workflow for updates. You can reprioritize jobs on the fly. So if you need something done quickly, you can put it at the top of the queue. You can put things on pause, etc. It does quite accurate job estimation, unlike, for example, a file copy in Windows. It lets you sort and filter jobs by various criteria. So you can see what's going on. From that, we go into reporting. This is our report document. So We have a complete web-based drill-down capability with waveforms and integrated playback. There's a lot of sorting abilities, intelligent filtering of the various events, a graphical timeline, of course, along with the waveform. It uses web technologies, so any computer that's connected to your network that has a link to the repository, even if it's a local repository of some kind, can have access to this reporting information through a web browser. And of course, because they use those technologies, your web developers that might be at your facility, and certainly they're ubiquitous, you can hire them to make changes, and we help you with that as well. They're very easy to modify. I mentioned that they're drillable. You can double-click on an actual waveform, and it opens up our event list player. It's an actual BWF player that has access to the quality chunks, so they show up as a report list on the left-hand side, a numeric list, where markers are displayed on the actual waveform. It has an integral sample rate converter, which means regardless of the format that your material is recorded on, you can play it back at what your sound blaster will allow you to do. This lets you basically have a distributed access system to all your reports and the playback of the audio on any computer. And, of course, we have a report list for actual printing, and you can export those files. I'm going to quickly go through, because I'm running a little bit late here, I'm going to run through a couple of processes. So this is sort of an animated view of how the workspace in Job Manager works. I'm going to essentially drag a encoding file in there and then just connect it to the various pins. So that's going from the from our in folder, our ingest folder, for example, or where a group of files exists that we want to create derivatives, and we're connecting it to the input pin of the MPEG encoder, and then from the output pin, we can be putting it to an output folder. And then by right-clicking on those folders, you get various properties. So on the folders themselves, you might get the paths to your web server on the output side. Here we have the properties set for your MPEG encoder itself. Once that's done, then the next thing is to actually test it and then run the job. When you're running the job, you can store different templates, so it lets you actually assign a job that's stored and assign it to a different set of folders. So you can change the path if you like. You can change the actual priority. And you can do this from the job manager as well, but this is when you're initially launching the job. You can also set it up as a monitor folder type of job, which means that job is running constantly. Anytime you drop a file in that folder, it will automatically process that file using the workflow that you created in the job manager. So there's nothing more to do but simply move a file into that folder, and it just works. And you can have unlimited number of jobs, and you can have nesting between job input and output folders. And moving on to the next slide. This is a more complicated example that I was going to discuss for a moment. This gives you an idea of some of the abilities here. We have an ingest folder going to our digital error checker, which is one of our analysis tools. And then the decider tool underneath it will actually collect information and connect it to that switch, determine the branch that the workflow will go to. If it passes, it moves on to an encoder, or if it fails, it goes to another folder, sends a notification, that kind of thing. The decisions on... I'm just going to fly through this here. The decisions is actually done with our rule editor, and it's basically a simple API to create that has the entire Dobbin, Quadriga, and BWF schemas, and you can traverse that schema and drag and drop modules together and define the criteria that something like the decision tool can use to branch your various workflows. There's an example of the schemas. This is a close-up of what the workspace looks like. Sorry, I know I got 2 minutes here, so I'm going to try and get through the last couple of slides. And we have complete functions, programming functions, to do arithmetic work, logic, and control flow of the actual workflows. It's very similar to XML Spy. If there are any guys that have played around with web development technologies, it's very similar to that. I'm going to stop there. I've got some other slides that talk about taking material directly from with Dobbin and moving it onto a web server, but using those same technologies of moving materials, having metadata to drive it. Dobbin does that work for you, and we can talk about it, and I think we can do that in the question and answer if we like. Thanks very much.